Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
Hello and welcome, Charlottesville. Oh, hold on a second. That's better.
I was getting double reverb. Somebody left the mic on air.
You don't want that.
Very Oasis sounding.
Literally just echoes. I'm Andy.
Alex.
Christian.
And welcome to Blokes on the Bench. Just before, I always forget to give the telephone number, 434-284-9470. Yeah, if you're a soccer fan, Premier League fan, and want to have your say on the show. It's been a busy week again. I mean, they always advertise the Premier League as another big week, but it's like, it's always a big week.
There's always something going on. That's the beauty of the league.
Exactly. First game, was it Wolves versus City the first game?
Early start. Citizens and Wolves, kicking it off at 7:30 Eastern, lunchtime fixture in Wolverhampton. And welcome to the big show for the Wolves. We were talking pre-show about Andy watching them last year, and City did play them in the FA Cup. And
right.
I was very much aware of how good they were and how much their owners had put into the project. So I knew we were in for a good match. I didn't know how good of a match it was going to be until we were neck deep in it. And while we did outpossess Wolves, they at least go forward, unlike our opponent the week before in Huddersfield, who just sat back and got absolutely pounded. Wolves took their chances, probably deserved another goal, in spite of the fact that their goal scored wasn't the best look for officials in the Premier League. But
no. The handball going in, right?
Yeah, I think it's really tough to judge. I mean, honestly, I don't have any problem with it. They deserved a goal out of it. They probably deserved a draw out of it. City hit the woodwork three times throughout the match and then
a PK that didn't get called. Yeah.
David Silva reacted in a way you don't see him react. He went right to the official yelling and screaming and got carded for it. And he's typically Mr. Calm out there. So to see his reaction, it led me to believe that at the moment that he was definitely fouled. And then after seeing the replays, I was like, all right, there's something there that was missed for sure. But, you know, these are the things that happen in the course of 38 weeks. In football, and I'm still not for VAR. I watched the opening Bundesliga match with Hoffenheim and Bayern Munich, and there was a lot of VAR in that match, and it just ruined the flow of it. Yes, it did correct some issues, but at the same time, it kills the game.
But it doesn't. I mean, like, missing PKs, a result that could have been something else. I was watching the LAFC Galaxy game on Saturday night, and Ibrahimovic scored on a goal line. Like, if they had goal line technology, it would have gone to that, but it went to VAR and they called it a goal, and the game, I think, ended 1-1 in the end. But
yeah,
I think for the World Cup, it converted me. I was anti VAR pre World Cup. It was a failure during the FA Cup, I thought, last year.
Yes.
There were a few Tottenham games that were really bad. I'm for it. I'm for it at this point because, I mean, if I'm a City supporter, I'm surprised at how calm you are right now and how you're, like, accepting of the draw. But, I mean, man, if I were you, I would be livid.
Yeah, it's
boiling.
It's a hard pill to swallow, no doubt. But again, this is what happens over the course of 38 weeks. These calls tend to even themselves out. Even if they don't, you know, cities are at the same position they were last year after three matches with two wins and a draw. City are not going to be the only team that go to Wolverhampton and have a tough match. I mean, they have some serious talent on display, and their manager is fantastic.
Yeah, their keeper had
just an unbelievable save as well to keep them level at the moment. And
the one on Sterling?
Yeah, and then they were able to bring on this Adama Traore, who looks like an MMA fighter with the speed of an Olympic runner. I mean, I just could not believe how fast and strong this guy was. And he had Mendy running all over the place. Mendy couldn't do anything with him. And up to that point, everybody was breathless about Mendy because of his offensive prowess. But defensively, he really got called out. And Wolves were able to change the momentum of the match in the last 20 minutes by bringing the sub on. So again, not going to be the only team that goes there and draws or even loses.
Yeah, and if you remember Trey Aurier, he played for Middlesbrough last year. So
yeah, I couldn't remember who he was, yeah. And then he came out. I mean, his muscles, his biceps were busting out of his jersey. And I'm like, I don't want to upset this guy. And then he just went right at City. He had no fear whatsoever. So good on them and their supporters. It's their first home match and a big home match like that. So, you know, these are the things that happen. It happens to United. It's going to happen to Spurs.
Remember Huddersfield? Correct. From United, like, right. They smashed us. It's like, you know, one of the first games of the season. Well, it was October, but it was still early on. We were one of the bigger clubs that had gone at that point. So, yeah, I mean, I think that Wolverhampton are going to be trouble to a lot of teams.
Yeah, they have a tough...
They look like the
they're
team
tough at home.
Out of everybody, I think they're the team that I can put a safe 20 spot on are still going to be up.
Yeah, they're going to stay up for sure. And I had sent you guys where I thought what the table would look like come May. And I have Wolves, you know, middle of the pack. I guess it's a little bit of a pun, but yeah, it's a terrible one. But I definitely see where they've... And they were there was a lot of talk of them last year in the championship and how well they were playing. And Andy, again, you and I were talking about it pre-show that this was a team that wasn't just going to walk up and have their 1 year in the spotlight and fall back off
again. Right.
You know, unlike some of these other sides who have come up recently who are just dreadful, like Huddersfield, and we'll get to them as well. But they can move the ball. They're probably lacking that nine that will score for them on multiple occasions, but everybody's looking for goals. And they're probably one transfer away from being a team that you could look at and say top 10, you know, push for Europe because they're
Everton or something like that.
Or Burnley, and there's okay. Another team that we'll get to as well.
Yeah, and I think that if you're going to talk Wolves, you got to talk about Jorge Mendes, who's the agent. That there's a kind of weird situation going on there. I don't know how familiar you guys are with this, but he is partial owner or something like that of the team, and he's been bringing in a lot of high-profile loanees from other teams.
Loanees.
And he there was a lot of talk about that in the championship
last year.
Well, here's
the thing. You don't play like you did last year, beating teams left, right, and center, and then go into the transfer window and spend like you did if you're not planning on staying up and making a statement. And I think that if you didn't look at that over the summer and kind of take that away from it, then you're kind of the fool, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I think the problem with this guy is that you're going to get the same amount of money regardless of if you're a loanee or where you go. This agent is encouraging his own players to go there because he's a partial owner, and it's kind of a weird situation. And the FA looked into it last year. They seemed to say it was okay, but I think a lot of the other clubs within the championship last year were not happy. In the Premier League, there's so much money. It's like, I mean, I think it's all fair at this point, but it's just an interesting situation that haven't really come across before.
Yeah, to see a championship squad come up with this much talent, with this much money, and even having the glare of FFP possibly against them, it's very interesting, and I loved watching them. And here we are talking about City versus Wolves, and we're talking more about Wolves than we are about Manchester City, and that's good for the league.
Right.
We want these teams to come up and express themselves and play well, and that's what they did. Now, they only had 29% of possession in the match, which is a low amount, but at least they went forward. They were dangerous on the break, and that's where, again, sitting back against City, you are going to get destroyed. We talked about this a lot last year, and we again saw it with Huddersfield last week. You have to take your chances against City. You can't just expect to play two banks of four or a bank of five and four. You have to go forward. Someone's got to be brave and make those runs, and Wolves did, and Wolves will beat better teams going forward.
And that guy Ruben Neves is legit.
Oh, so good.
He there was some talk about Spurs going after him in January of last year, and
he's a common City target as well, which I'm like, I have no idea where they'd put him, but yeah, he shows the quality that he could play in a top six side. So he stays around, you're talking Wolves then becoming a top 7, 8, 9, 10 side, and that's exciting. Again, teams that express themselves, that's what we want. We got rid of a lot of garbage last year in relegation, a lot of dead ball, a lot of anti-football, and now it's good to see teams want to play with the ball.
Yeah. I mean, I do find that, like, you know, these smaller, quote-unquote smaller teams, I mean, they've got a lot of history to them. Some of the clubs have been around just as long as United and, you know, all the other teams. But it is nice to see the quote-unquote smaller teams coming up and putting a bit of fight in the dog. And like you said, like Wolverhampton, you know, they may be, with smart transfer windows, one or two away from, like you said, a top 10 position finish. And like last year, like, I mean, there were some garbage teams that needed to just get dumped out.
Yep, and they did. And we still have one or two left that need to go down and figure it out. But speaking of transfers,
who would that be? Huddersfield and Cardiff. Yeah,
Huddersfield is definitely going to get relegated, and again, we'll talk about them. But that's a team that was really lucky to get out last year. I saw them in the playoff two seasons ago when they won the playoff, and no one could score.
You saw them in person?
And no, I watched the playoff, and it was just watching two teams just go from yard box to yard box. Nobody could break through and even make an attempted shot, and I'm like, how's this team going to survive in the Premier League? Credit to David Wagner for getting them through. I mean, you do what you have to do, even if it's hanging on by the skin of your teeth, and that's what they did. But I have them relegated here. I had them relegated before the season started.
Well, I hope we're talking about relegation, but I hope next year promotion. I want to see Villa back up in the Premier League.
Yeah, man, those villains. How about them? That's a side that needs to get back in the Premier League, and they have such a huge following. That's a huge project and program that needs to be well represented, and I would be very happy. When I was in Chicago last year at the Globe, there was a huge contingent of Villa supporters there, and they were louder than any other group there.
I lived just about 40 minutes outside of Birmingham, which is obviously where Villa was, and so everybody, it was like the Redskins in Charlottesville. Like, you know, a lot of people support the Redskins down here. Well, Villa being probably Wolverhampton is close as well. Mm-hmm. And obviously,
there's a bunch. There's like Stoke and
West Bromwich as well.
Yeah.
But like the undoubtedly the biggest one was Villa. And I mean, you would walk around any
nice
Saturday.
Too.
Yeah.
I've been there. I saw them play Arsenal a few years ago. And
yeah, that's a classic stadium.
It really is.
That was a shock. It wasn't a shock that season watching them dribble down, but like it was a shock to see a big club that had been in the Premier League from the start.
They were so bad for so long, though.
I mean, yeah, it was inevitable, but like, it was just, how did you get to that point?
Yeah, and then they'd sell on their best assets. Once Christian Benteke got sold off, who used to be a good player, and I miss him being a good player because he really was an outstanding striker for a season or two, that was the writing on the wall. Swansea's the same way. Swansea just kept selling their best players on, and the writing's kind of on the wall at that point. You're only going to get so far. Southampton is another side that just sell on their best players, and they're in that relegation battle for sure this year. Although they got a good result they didn't get a good result this week. Maybe we should move on because that was the next match of the day.
All right, okay.
So Leicester, Southampton, right?
Yep.
All Leicester right. 2, Southampton 1.
A late winner by
Harry Maguire, the goal scorer.
So what a beauty, huh?
You guys obviously got Mahrez now. Do you think that affects Leicester? I mean, they say that they don't. They've got all these young players coming through, but really, let's be honest, it probably does.
It has to affect them in the short term, without a doubt, but at the same time, they really missed their window to cash in on these guys a season ago. And let's not forget, they get a result yesterday, a 2-1 win against Southampton, without throwing a party, because Jamie Vardy served the first match of his three-match ban. And I think any time you can get a point without your best player on the field, you're doing well. When you get 3 points without that guy and you're on the road, excellent win by Leicester. That's a side that showed real grit and didn't care that Mahrez is wearing City Blue now, because they're moving on, and they look like they're going to stick around, you know, mid-table team, and hope that their talent develops, maybe sell on a few people as time goes on. But, and losing Mahrez is one thing. They lost the best player, and I'm going to say it, the best player in the world in N'Golo Kante 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and they just kept marching on. So that's a side that, when they let Ranieri go, obviously, you know, the romantists and all of us were probably really, the romantics and all of us were disappointed, but they did what they had to do to survive. And that's the mark of a good side that's going to stick around.
But I think that they had a ready-made replacement for Mahrez and Damari Gray. And
great point.
He is a really good player and underrated and very young. And some of the other Premier League teams, I know Tottenham have gone after him a little bit in the past. He's a baller, and he scored. He scored the first goal for Leicester. And, you're excited to see what he can do. And Iheanacho came from City last year, and he is a legit starter in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Leicester although they've lost players, they've also bought a few players and bought well, I think. So
yeah, and they still have this Mahrez money that they are able to go. They made a killing on Mahrez, without a doubt. And honestly, like seeing what Southampton did to basically lose that match, to put themselves in a position to lose that match with Højbjerg getting sent off for a silly, silly dive. Already on a yellow, gets sent off for it.
Simulation.
It's a simulation. Just foolish to be on the road, desperately needing points. You know, they're lucky to even have the goal with Bertrand's belter.
That was amazing.
Yeah, goal. Fantastic goal. But you got to be smarter than that, man. On the road, you've got to get points, even if it's just the one. And to dive like that, just so obvious and so really pathetic. I mean, if I'm the manager, it's like, you're sitting, buddy. You know, even after the suspension, you're going to sit for a while.
For me, also, that Maguire goal at the end, yes, it was through a little bit of traffic, but the goalie's just flat-footed, just watching it go in. I mean, McCarthy, you've got to do better than that. I mean, he's bounced around a lot, but at the same time, this is a veteran keeper. He's, you know, he's getting up there in his 20s, and you've got to do better than that. I mean, you played at this level for that long. You cannot let someone score in extra time from distance when it's a center back.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, yes, it was kind of hard, but it wasn't that strong of a shot.
Getting back to Højbjerg and the red card, we had 4 red cards shown this weekend. This was red card weekend. Really interesting to see how many guys got sent off. And I wonder if part of that is a hangover effect. And I've talked a lot about this, the hangover from the World Cup. England got back to work really fast, not only from the World Cup, but then the ridiculous ICC tournament that we're subjected to every season here in the States. These guys didn't really get much of a break. So I wonder if mentally, not only physically, but mentally, some of these guys just need some time off.
And you're very anti-ICC, but also the recent news is that La Liga and Serie A are going to play in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
And you're anti that as well. So
absolutely.
Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
I didn't know about the Serie A. I didn't know that was part of this conversation. But
I thought it was. Maybe I'm just getting the two confused.
Taking anything away from local supporters, I am firmly and strongly against. I think ICC is doing a disservice to American football in general, selling these glorified scrimmages between teams. There's really nothing to play for. If I were a player,
in the ICC.
The ICC.
The proposal is for La Liga to play real games.
And that's like coming up in January. I read that Barcelona is going to play in Miami. And I'm all for these captains getting together and saying, no way. You know what's going to happen. Money's going to talk louder than any player or the fans, because that's all that really matters to these clubs. We want to think that it's for the badge and it's for the player. It's for the people in the stands. It's not. It's about the money. And it's a shame to see that these leagues are going to whore themselves out like this.
But you see it with like NFL and everything else.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. Did the NFL start this? But that's for after the break. The time is 6:20. Guys, we'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back to Blokes on the Bench. Don't forget, if you have any questions or want to bring anything up, it is 434-284-9470. So back to the sort of teams playing overseas and stuff like that. Is this the NFL? Kind of people taking a leaf out of the NFL?
Well, it's not just the NFL. The NBA has done it. The Major League Baseball has done it.
Yeah, you were saying, what league was it? The baseball league?
Yeah, MLB will have the Red Sox and Yankees playing in London in July of next season. And with the Spurs supporters sitting here, they're really at the forefront, the Spurs organization, in the building of their new stadium. And I would not be surprised, and you probably can speak to this way better than I can, that an NFL team may eventually be home in Spurs Stadium.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I think the most likely NFL team, not as we need to go into this analysis here, to move to London is actually Jacksonville.
Right.
And the owner just bought, or at least is in conversations to buy, Wembley.
Right.
Saad Khan. And so, I mean, it's a crazy thing. If you're anything positive England, you don't want them to sell Wembley to them.
Heck
no. It's insane.
No.
I mean, yes, you get a one-time payment of $500 million or whatever.
Yeah, and where's that money going
to
go?
And they say it's all going to go to lower level teams, and we're going to build more pitches.
Right.
And because there's been if you read the analysis, basically it's like there's been countless games in England that have been canceled for guess what, rain, because mm-hmm. it rains a lot there, and so they're trying to build a lot of actually artificial pitches so that there's always a backup place to play, because if you look at it, like literally thousands of minutes have been lost because games have been canceled, and then your younger players don't get to play, and then those minutes mean that they don't develop as much, is the theory. That said, the FA has got so much money as it is. They can put more
that
into that. They could pull back a little bit on the Premier League in terms of the amount of money they put into it. They're making money, just crazy money doing this. It's like you already have so much cash. Just use it the right way.
Right. And I have to confess, we were talking about Twitter before the show and how it's the, what was your quote, Andy? The playground of the ignorant or?
Playground of the idiot.
Playground of the idiot.
Well, you said that after saying something about the president, but we don't need to go into that.
I do.
Bringing up the politics.
I do spend way too much time on Twitter. And the one good thing about Twitter for me is that it's connected me to so many great supporters in England, not only Manchester City supporters, but supporters of all clubs who can be quite passionate, but also can be really objective when talking about their club or football in general. And I credit a lot of my passion for the game because of the supporters, not because of the teams. And a lot of them have said, people I have followed since 10, 12, 13 years ago when Twitter started or whatever year it was, I don't remember. A lot of them have come out and said that once the product starts getting exported like that, they're done. They'll just root for their small, non-league team. They'll go to that. That'll be their day. I mean, they already say it's already been whored out enough. And I hear that, you know, getting, standing, room in these stadiums is way overdue. Ticket prices are out of control and the demands that are put on supporters are too much. And now talking about, hey, if you want to go to, you know, league match number 14, you're going to have to fly to Los Angeles. You're going to have to fly to Miami. You're going to have to do that's not what and these games will be played in front of. The stadiums won't be empty, but they'll be libraries, and that's not what we want.
No, we definitely don't want.
You don't think though that like if the Premier League decided to hold a few games over here, that the crowds wouldn't come out and that actually the game would mean something?
I think the United supporters would get out, and I think the Liverpool supporters would get out because you're talking about.
Oh, don't lump us two together.
Well, they're sides that are the biggest sides in England, right?
True.
They have the most quote-unquote history and quote-unquote the most. I'm not going to go there, Andy, because I like you, but typically typically we find glory hunters in the red side of Manchester and the red side of Liverpool, but that's a different story. I get why.
No, that's your ship now.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, you're leading the bandwagon.
Yeah, we were all Chelsea supporters before this, yeah. But I get it. You know, it's like here in the States, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, right? They've been insane. I have a great friend of mine I've known for 30 years. He's been a Pittsburgh Steelers fan since the day I met him, and the Steelers were terrible forever, and then they got good again, and then all like everybody you knew was a Steelers fan, and that's just how it is, you know. It's like I don't really have that much of a problem with it. Like what you like, but you'll never have the passion of supporters here in the States like you will over there. You'll have little sections for sure. I've been in those stadiums. I'm sure you guys have too. Seen your clubs here in the States. But it's not the same. Spend the money. Take a flight. Cross the ocean. Go see these teams in Europe where they belong. Do not support this. I know people will, but it's really unfortunate. And it's not unfortunate for us. It's unfortunate for the actual supporters who help build these clubs from day one.
And it's funny that you're saying that the supporters are paying an arm and a leg to get into these. Where you look at ICC, and we were talking about this during the break, People pay hundreds of dollars for a ticket to get in to see a meaningless game. Granted, you get to see Ronaldo or Messi or, you know, whoever is your favorite player for maybe 15 minutes because, mm-hmm. you know, they're not fully fit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I think, the allure of La Liga coming here is that you have $400, $500 tickets that are out there for a competitive match. I agree that you're going to lose. If you go to Europe and you watch a game, the chants, the songs, the build up, the walk to the game, it's like going to college football. That's like saying, you know, maybe not UVA.
It's
but
the
like,
closest I've ever
it's,
seen.
It's if you let's see Alabama and Auburn play each other, but we're going to do it in Mexico City.
Right.
It's
right,
not the
here,
same thing.
No, don't
thing.
Give him any ideas. You just like opened up the last portal
But for the sake of maybe one or two games a year. For the growth of the game. And
it's like a bowl game at that point, right?
Well, they've talked about the 39th match being exported, which, again, I think is a terrible idea. I think
so no games exported
no
at all?
No games. I think the only game that you could even reasonably, if you really want to push this, send the FA Cup final elsewhere because nobody really cares over there anyway. That stadium typically seems to be somewhat empty unless there's a United.
You're both not necessarily for the ICC. Right,
firmly against,
and you're not for games being
say,
played.
I don't know if I'd
you're
say
not
I'm
for games
it.
Being played overseas in America. So, What ways do you think we can grow La Liga, grow the Premier League?
Why does it have to be grown any further than it has?
Well, I think they want to grow it worldwide, don't they?
Hasn't it? I mean, until we export to a different planet, I'm not sure how.
You don't think that, say, maybe when companies come in, like Warner or whatever, and they buy up all the rights and then put them all out? We were talking about this, 2 weeks ago? It's $179 if you want to watch all the games
right
now. That's killing
for Champions League.
That's going to kill the game.
Well, is it, or is it? Is it going to specialize to those of us basically
make
sitting here in the
available
room? Well, right, make it more available, but remember, by making it more available, put it over the air. Don't put it behind a paywall.
Right,
but
exactly.
Also, when you export these games here to the States, you're not getting the season ticket holder who's paying, you know, £10 or £15 per match or whatever the price is for the cheap. I know Manchester City are typically at the lead of cheapest seats in the Premier League, but I don't know other teams how it works.
Arsenal's the worst, apparently.
Right. Arsenal's bad because they're still paying for their building 10 years on. But,
well, that, and they just know they can get the money, right?
I really wish Mark were here to fight with me about that. But anyway, what are you going to get here? You're going to get the real supporters, the working class people like us, are going to be, and I consider myself working class, that I can't afford to sit down low for $500. It's never going to happen.
Right. But if the if the prices were more reasonable, would you be okay with it coming over here?
Still wouldn't be okay with it, but at least I could participate.
So is it the fact that it's coming over here, or do you think it's the fact that they're exploiting fans here?
Well, I think that what's going to happen is that the captains are all going to say, we're not going to do this, and then they're going to say, well, here's some money. And then they're all be like, great,
yeah,
I'm in.
Yep.
And that's what it is they're going to get a percentage of this of this venture. It'll be kind of like what the NBA has done.
Pigs
like,
to the trough.
And ultimately, everyone's going to be happy because their checkbook will be just that much fatter.
Well, but guess who's not going to be happy? The home supporters who will miss a match. And that's where these NFL fans...
But if it's the 39th game,
bring the Europa League over.
Well, if there's a 39th game, let's look at leagues... Let's look at how leagues have finished where it's either ended, and a City supporter can bring this up easily because we've experienced it, a winning season on goal differential or a league that was won the last day that City had to, they had it, but they had to win the last day to just confirm it. So imagine that 39th game. So now you're going to play somebody a third time, which changes the dynamic completely. How do you determine who that
third opponent's going to be? The 39th game. It wouldn't be the last game of the season, right?
I don't know how they want to work it.
Well, if we're saying that the game's going to be in January, it's obviously not the last game of
the
season.
But I don't think that's the idea. I think the idea is that come May,
it's literally the last game of the season.
They would play here, but I don't know either.
I think they've got to pepper it in throughout the year, and what they've been trying to figure out is what is a good spot in the schedule, because
in England, where there is no break.
Well, but this year, of course.
Isn't this year they're doing a break?
No break this year. And I don't know that it's confirmed for next year. It's funny that, again, getting back to the point of these players need time off or a break. Bundesliga kicked off this weekend on Friday was the first match. And England's on their third match day already. So Germany, you get a nice Christmas break. They took their time getting back from World Cup. The transfer window still is open for Germany and most of Europe except for England. I don't know what the FA is thinking or doing. And that's something that you can trace back for a long time, obviously. But we're getting to danger levels of pushing players past the point of reasonable expectation.
Well, the FA has made the right move in terms of bringing in a winter break. That's positive.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's one of the reasons why it affects England's World Cup and stuff? Or?
Champions League.
Okay. I think
for sure
it affects England from a national team perspective.
You don't
but
think
it's interesting?
It's the
you
Premier
do?
League that kills it because you get all these players from Spain and from around the world playing there. You don't get the homegrown talent.
Right. The Premier League is an all-star league. And we're far past that point. That's gone, long gone. The old English fairy tale, aside from a Harry Kane here and there.
Here's the thing. I was listening to Talk Sport, and this is more an observation than a talking point, but they were talking about how England, as a national team, the youth academies, they're killing it. World Cup youth teams killing it.
Under 17s, under 23s.
But then when it gets to the age where they're actually getting into, like, because teams like Chelsea and all the rest of it, they'll just sell them on.
Right. Well, and City are in the same position. They had to sell on Jadon Sancho, who week by week in Germany looks to be a player that is going to be one that got away from us.
Like 10 million or
something. Yeah, and he's going to, the rumor is that he's going to play for England in this, in these September matches that are coming up. And as a City supporter, we're constantly sold, oh, the youth academy, they're producing, wait till you see this kid come up. They never play for us. They either get sold on or they never develop fully and they're just gone. So here's an opportunity for this kid to go on to Germany to get his opportunity. Also, Phil Foden, who was man of the tournament in last year's World Cup, last year's Youth World Cup.
Yeah,
I mean, this kid's fantastic. Stockport Messi. And he's going to get sold on.
Stockport Messi.
Yeah, because he's just not, they're not going to, and he is getting time because of De Bruyne being injured now, but it's still 20 minutes, 10 minutes. Pep wants to develop youth. Here's your opportunity, man. You know, I'd rather the club, and you, when I sent out my standings, I had City finishing third. I'd rather us develop some youth in league and win the Champions League this year than sell our souls to win the Premier League.
And the same thing happened to Tottenham. Rio Griffiths, one of their promising young talents, scored some crazy number of goals in the youth league last year, youth EPL league. They don't take him to the U.S. to play in the ICC, and all of a sudden he wants out. He cancels his contract, and he goes to Lyon, and now he's playing for Lyon on the B team.
Wow.
And it's not even on the A team, but I think it was a bad decision for them not to bring him when they brought all these other young players. Mm-hmm. And they don't bring arguably their best young player, and he's gone.
Wow, that's fascinating.
And obviously Manchester United, the team that I support, we got a manager that doesn't trust youth. So it's
I don't think he trusts anybody on the team.
Yeah. Well, does anybody trust him either? So
no, I think I'm Mourinho out now. So
yeah.
Anyway, we'll get to United. We've missed all the games. We've been talking a lot.
Can we
just talk about Arsenal since Mark's not here and he's probably listening?
Yeah. This is the way
calling us from walk-in.
Yeah.
This match to me was the land of broken toys. I look at all these very disparate pieces that just don't fit or make sense on either side, on West Ham or on Arsenal. And I don't know where you get an answer, because Wenger being there for so long at Arsenal, obviously, he had these long-term plans. Like, he thought he was never going to die, right? Because he just kept making these changes or buying these players for long-term. And they just don't seem to fit. How you have a player like Alexander Lacazette,
Lacazette,
which I still think is one of the funniest things I've ever heard, coming on and not being part of the regular rotation. I get it, because he's not that good in England, but what are you going to do with him? You know, why is he there? You know, Aubameyang is your striker, and you've got all this talent.
You got to play two at the top if you really are.
You would think so, man. Paying that kind of money, you know, for these kind of players, that's what's going to happen. And it's not even paying the players.
City does it, right?
Well, it's the quality of player, right? You can't, I don't care if the guy costs a pound or costs a billion pounds. He's quality. He is good. It's just he's not good right now. And why isn't he good? Because you've taken his confidence away by bringing another striker in who's eating away at his time, who's a better player.
Aubameyang's
a better player. There's no doubt about it. But then you've got somebody like Mehmet Ozil, who, Andy, I don't mean to pick a scab here, but Mehmet Ozil called in sick basically this week. Sixth time since 2016 that he has missed a match due to illness. And
the word is that he didn't actually, he wasn't sick.
Right.
Well, there was a bust up between him.
He was trying to push his eyeballs back into his head.
cruel. That's, you know, where you begin to wonder, like, how bought in is this guy who most still think is a quality player, right? I mean, the German side didn't do well in the World Cup, and eyes look at him. But I still think, and I still thought he had a great year last year, and people want to take a dig on him. He still puts up numbers. He's still productive.
The assist numbers.
He's still part of good football. So for him to have these issues,
but he doesn't play defense. I think that's the biggest problem. He's a one way player,
right? And Alexis Sanchez was exactly the same way. And this is where you wonder what Wenger was really. He never bought that central defender or defensive midfielder. And gosh, Mark would fill in so many of the gaps right now with that. And
the
birthdays of
the
Beatles,
all the guys that they bought.
Yeah, right.
That failed.
Or an album that was released that particular year. But yeah, I mean, this is where you just wonder what Arsenal are doing. And now they've got a manager who I think is going to do a good job for them, but it's going to have to clear out a lot of dead wood. And when Jack Wilshere came back, when he was there, you know, again, I know Mark was probably, there's a little tear rolling down his cheek. You just wonder, like, he's going to be the first of many of these Arsenal guys who just aren't going to be there anymore.
Maybe next, right?
Yeah, and Aaron Ramsey, you would think that people would line up for a player of
I
that quality.
I love to have Ramsey on.
Yeah, it's at City, too. I mean,
there's a lot of talk about him going to Chelsea. So.
Yeah, but good for Arsenal. Like you said, they get their first win under Emery. They obviously start against the champions, which wasn't a great way to start. And their second match was against Chelsea, who... Chelsea look fantastic, although they had their trouble today, but that's a side that I am petrified by, to say the least. I think they've got some serious quality, and they've got a manager who knows what to do with that side. We can either start talking about Chelsea. I found out something very interesting about Chelsea today, that they've been put up for sale, apparently, with an evaluation of $2.5 billion. Mr. Abramovich can no longer afford to continue owning.
Use it as his sandbox money pit,
right? Or his money laundering pit, which is probably. Yeah. Oh man, I'm gonna have some.
Yeah,
somebody
some
waiting for me at my
Twitter.
Door.
Yeah.
when I
but
get
but
home.
It's funny. I actually hadn't heard that because
yeah.
there was $2 billion offered for Liverpool this week.
That's right.
The cousin of the guy.
That's
that
right.
Owns
yeah,
Man
from City.
City.
That's right. Oh boy, we'd love to have Liverpool under CFG. That'd be fantastic.
That would be
have them wear sky blue over there.
There's
and,
no way that could possibly.
Well, it's a great rivalry.
Changing into Liverpool City.
Yeah.
Wasn't there recently there was a club where someone bought them and they didn't like the color of what they were, and so they had
Cardiff.
Cardiff. They
yep.
were like, we used to be blue and we're changing them to be red or
yep.
whatever it was. And
then now they're back. They're back, yeah.
There's a lot of teams doing that. Remember Leeds wanted to change their badge crest like
oh boy.
Last year?
Oh, boy. That looked like Columbus crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Columbus. We'll have to have a special broadcast just dedicated to MLS at some point, right?
Oh. But big shout-out to my sister, by the way, Laura. She was at the Colorado Rapids game yesterday.
Nice.
She It was what real Salt Lake, but she called it pure salt. So, yes, it's pure salt, Laura. But anyway, yeah, we'll be right back. The time is now 6:40. All right, guys, welcome back to Blokes on the Bench. What were we talking about again?
We were talking Arsenal-West Ham, which I think, again, would have been better had Mark been here to kind of fill in the gaps. But there was so much action this weekend in the Premier League. Bournemouth-Everton, we were just talking about
fantastic
off air.
Fantastic game.
Barnburner
gets a red card
mm-hmm.
for a silly headbutt.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly thereafter, Walcott's looking like he used to play for Arsenal or something, scoring goals on breakaways. And
he looked like the Flash.
Red cards.
How
yeah.
fast was he? And then he gets Adam Smith, who baited Richarlison into the red card to tackle him as last man standing, basically, and he goes off with a red card. So this was a fun match. Unfortunately, Michael Keane gets injured with a hairline fracture to the skull. So thoughts and prayers out to him. And it sounds like he's going to be okay, but it's really scary when you see it. Don't see it if you don't have to see it. But man, I love Bournemouth. They're just so good. And Eddie Howe,
especially at home.
Yeah, Eddie Howe's going to get a job.
That crowd is great. I mean, they just came roaring back. They scored 2 goals in 5 minutes. One on a penalty.
Yeah, they were down 0-2
on a silly tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Really push in the back by Leighton Baines,
mm-hmm.
and then Ake gets one off the corner.
Yeah,
it was a good game back and forth. But man, if you watch the first 15 minutes, you weren't going to expect
right,
all that.
Right,
you know?
Right. And then moving on to Huddersfield-Cardiff real fast. That was a real exciting match, 0-0. Cardiff have yet to score a goal this year, 3 matches in. However, they've kept 2 clean sheets, so there's something positive to be said about a team who's going to get relegated probably by March. And if you don't mind, just keep rolling along here. The champions-elect Liverpool win 1-0 against Brighton in a gut check to the best team in England. They, without a doubt, are going to win the league this year when they have a result like that. So congrats.
No one can sense the sarcasm here.
There's no sarcasm. I gave you guys my table, and I had Liverpool winning the league this year, so they won last week. This weekend.
I think the without a doubt part is the...
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. What are you talking... I'm all you Liverpool supporters, I'm not laughing.
Well, they're top of the table right now, and now that City's dropped 2 points, we all know that Liverpool won't drop any more points the rest of the way, of course, and...
Yeah, they're going to break the century mark and all the other records that.
No, but really, I was surprised that Liverpool
City records
only scored one goal against Brighton.
Well, but
Brighton are horrible.
But this
I mean,
is their track
you
record.
Show us that last week. You
this
know?
Is like, this is their track record, right? They will play down to their competition. They actually don't want the ball. They had, I think, 70. I had this
70%,
written down.
Yeah,
of possession. That's not going to feed into what Liverpool do best. Liverpool break.
They
Liverpool, right? And if they're forced to play with the ball, That's where they had their problems last year. This year they won this match. This is to me, and I'm being 100% serious. Last year this is a match, and I think Liverpool supporters would agree with me, they would have drawn or they would have found a way to lose. They found a way to win this match. So that's where you say this is a champion side team that knows how to win matches that they typically would have dropped points in last year.
But Brighton had a glorious chance late and they didn't score. And it could have easily been a draw. And, you know, it's just like, for me, it's just shocking that Liverpool only scored one.
Yeah.
And the one that they scored, if you watched it, mm-hmm. it was because of the high press. They didn't have the ball.
Their gegenpress, yeah.
And then there was a foul in their own half. Mm-hmm. And then they pass it. Milner makes a good play. One-touch football, goal.
Yeah. I mean, when they do what they do, there's no one that's going to stop them. They're fantastic, and I give them all the credit in the world. They have addressed everything that was wrong about their team last year and have the best team in England right now and should win the Premier League. And anything beside that for them this year will be disappointing. It'll be disappointing for me. I think they are the best team. I think they're going to win the championship.
I think the most impressive thing about Liverpool is not necessarily just who they bought and where they bought, but I look at their left and their right back. Two very young
so
players,
good.
Alexander Arnold mm-hmm. and Robertson. These guys, no one knew who they were two years ago, unless you were like a hardcore Liverpool fan. Both these kids are legit.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like Alexander Arnold hit the post.
Yep.
He's taken free kicks for them over the rest of the star players that we all know of around the world. I mean, it's amazing.
And they are kids, right? You're talking about like under 20?
Yeah, Alexander. I mean, I can pull up the numbers right here. Alexander Arnold is 19 and Robertson is 24, so just a little bit older.
He looks younger. And now with Van Dijk really solidifying that back line, I think that they've got they're unbeaten in their last 23 home matches with 7 consecutive clean sheets. I mean, that's dangerous. Anfield is a fortress, and anybody going in there is probably not going to get a result. And again, to me, this is a match last year. They would have dropped points. They won. And that's the mark of a champion.
Well, I think the big thing is that they've really cleaned up the defense. In the past, you have like Lovren playing in the back. Mm-hmm. He claims to be the best in the world and all that garbage.
That's what he said.
There's even a Salah video that he put out where he like records, it's the best player, best defender in the world. And he's just like ripping him because it's like, it's such an outrageous comment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... So Croatia got to the final or whatever.
Because of him, right?
Because of him, exactly. But that's the kind of thing he would say. But obviously, it had nothing to do with him. It was Modric and Rakitic just dominating the midfield.
Yep.
But that's the big thing, is that they have youth, and they bought Van Dijk, and then there's like a rotation in for that other center back. Mm-hmm. I mean, today it was, what, that dude Gomez or whatever, and it's just like...
Who looks to be another good player.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I like him.
He has potential. I don't know.
And I really, I'm taking all the snark out of this. I really think that this side is so good, and they are loaded at every position. So, yeah, it's tough to deal with, but moving on.
Because they finally got rid of Karius. That was a big move.
Well,
on loan, right?
So he walked alone to Besiktas. I can never really say that word the right way. But good for him. And apparently, I don't know. I thought he was a really good keeper, and you know, he had his misstep in the Champions League final, obviously. But
yeah, but he was horrible even against you guys in that league.
Mignolet apparently is very upset now as well because he wanted out, knowing that Alisson is going to be the rock in between the sticks for Liverpool for the next decade. He wants out, and Liverpool wouldn't let him go, which, having that experience, number two, City are now experiencing this with Claudio Bravo out for probably the entire year and probably the end of his career with rupturing his Achilles tendon in training. You need to have that quality second keeper, so the guy in...
Well, there was talk about you guys getting some... the old
no one's
Madrid.
Coming. Yeah, no one's coming.
Yeah,
no one's coming. But
there is a weird rule that not many people know, is you can get a player on loan in an injury situation like this, and keeper is the most likely case. Where
the FA apparently rejected our bid to try to buy somebody because of this injury issue, but we were able to recall a young keeper whose name I don't recall at this point. And there's a couple free agents that are out there, apparently. I'm like, do not play in the Caribou Cup. This is where just go out, put all youth players, lose that first round. Do not pursue this worthless cup, because
is
this
is
where
this year still, or
it's the worthless cup.
Well, I mean,
I think it's the worthless cup.
It changes names every year.
Yeah, we won it last year, and we won it 2 years ago against, Liverpool, right. So, yeah, but it's still a worthless cup. Anyway, Watford Palace, anybody?
This was a good
yeah.
game.
I mean, I thought that the thing, first of all, Wadford, maybe the surprise, got to be the surprise of the league right now. Three wins on three games, and they won 2-1 here today. They brought a very physical game, and they were, like, raking Zaha's, like, ankle and Achilles a few times. If you saw, they were purposefully going after him, roughing him up. And you know what? Zaha's the only player you really need to worry about on Crystal Palace. You were saying earlier that Benteke is a fraction of what he used to be. Zaha scored the only goal in maybe not necessarily consolidation time, but consolation time, sorry. But it was domination, I thought, by Wadford for the most part. Like, Kapu, I thought, had a pretty good game. He had a nice pass out to Pereira that got the first one. Mm-hmm. And then Holabas, that was a cross, right? He admitted it later.
Yeah, right.
He just crosses it in, and it was like the perfect goal. But it was a cross, not a shot. But hey, they all count the same.
That's it.
Right?
And Zaha becomes Crystal Palace's number one scorer in the Premier League with 24 career goals.
I saw that.
That's crazy.
Shocked that he hasn't even been there that long.
Yeah.
Has he been 4 or 5 years?
I don't know if I've told the story here on the show before, but I knew a Palace supporter back 10 years ago, and he had a season ticket to Crystal Palace and told me, I've got the season ticket. And I'm like, oh, so how many matches do you go to? And he goes, none. And I said, really? And he's like, if I want to watch football, I go see Arsenal. He's like, Palace are the worst team in the entire world. And I hope he gets to enjoy matches now. I mean, I've been to that ground, and I think it's fantastic. And they're kind of my second Premier League team, if I can even say that. But they're a team I kind of keep an eye on. And this was a devastating loss today. That's really disappointing. They've had a good run recently away, so losing today is a big loss. But, you know, early days, I don't really look into the first 3 weeks as being a sample of much.
But that guy, Roberto Pereira, he's fitting in well for Richarlison. Mm-hmm. He's a similar player. And there were a few games last year where he caught my eye, and I was like, wow, this guy's legit. But he was in rotation because Richarlison was there, and they have another winger that is forgetting his name, but...
Your name is Alex.
No, I'm forgetting name. His name, not my
Alex.
Name. But I think that Wadford, I don't think they're going to keep it up. I don't see them in the top four, obviously, at the end of the
Wadford
year.
Wadford can pull one out.
Just because they have Troy Deeney and you're the chairman of the Troy Deeney fan club doesn't mean that you are going to sit here and... Are Wadford going to be top four? Is that what you're making the prediction
top four,
right here?
But no, absolutely not. But I never thought they would be top four.
Okay, but what? So where do you see them at the end
top
of the season?
Top 10, maybe?
Yeah.
Crawling in like ninth, maybe?
Well,
that's kind of realistic, but not top four.
No, of course not.
A side we should talk about is Burnley. Burnley's probably going to take a step back this year.
Getting whopped by like Fulham 4.
Well, by 4-2 to Fulham. But let's look at this a little bit objectively. Burnley comes off of their Europa League matches, which they've won 2 and drawn 2. So they're looking like they're going to go through, that they're going to get to play in Europa, which is a bad thing for a side that is as small as Burnley is. And I don't mean that as a club. I mean that just as a roster.
That was the problem with Leicester. Remember when they got into the Champions League?
And I really wish your Newcastle supporter friend was here, because if you can remember back in 2010 or 2011, Newcastle qualified for Europa, and they were in a black hole because they had spent all this time and resource playing in that competition and just could not survive playing in the Premier League. They went from a top six side, and I think they fell all the way down into the low teens, like right outside the relegation zone. So it's almost like a curse getting into Europa. And again, if Mark were here, he could really address Europa
The big thing for Burnley, though, is that they had to qualify.
Yeah.
And so there's extra matches. Mm-hmm. It's not only just playing on Thursdays throughout the year, it's that you've got to qualify, and then after you qualify, there's group stages, and then it goes to a round of 32, and then the Champions League third place team comes in, and all of a sudden there's another round.
Right.
It just goes on forever.
Right.
That's the problem. And I mean there's no talk about changing what Europa is, which is the crazy thing. I will say this, I think over the last 3 or 4 years Europa has gained in stature because they added the victor goes to the Champions League. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing some pretty big teams win it, like Atletico won it last year.
Manchester United won it 2 years ago.
Exactly. And so I think that teams are starting to go for it, but in the past people would dismiss it and say, hey, Burnley, just go ahead and lose it. Granted, no one here thinks that Burnley are going to win it, right? I mean...
Well, I don't think they'll. I don't think they're going to win objectively. No, but do they have a chance to win? Sure, they do. Will they? No, but
it's like
they
less
have
than
a chance.
1%
chance. Yeah, but it's exciting to see them go for this. But what's more exciting to me is this is Fulham's first win back in the Premier League. Craven Cottage rocking like it used to back in the old days of Clint Dempsey. That's exciting to see them back on the board and the goals that were scored today. I didn't watch this match live. I only watched the highlights, but you're talking...
The Siri goal was legit.
Oof.
He was somehow going... That was like a coup for Fulham to get him because he came to London going to either Arsenal or Chelsea, and then they lured him in with the just simple concept of, hey, we'll play you. Mm-hmm. We'll play you every game. You're first man on the team sheet.
Yeah.
And that means a lot for players, you know.
Right, it's not just the big names, but if a team can come in and say, not only are you getting first team football, but, you know, on a weekly basis, but we're going to build a team around you sort of thing. Like,
and
you're going to be a star.
And we're going to pay you similar
rather than
money.
Just another star.
Yeah.
So is Mitrovic putting in a cross there, or did he intentionally chip the keeper to the far post where there happened to be a Fulham player somewhat nearby, but it still goes in? How about Joe Hart? Oh, it just kills me. Joe Hart looked so defeated on every goal that was scored against him today, which were four. He's just a shell of the man that
There were times last year that he was playing decently. Well, he was at Crystal Palace.
West Ham.
And there were times that he'd play well. That's right. There was a game against Crystal Palace. And anyway, he was playing decently, I thought. Now... the game has passed him.
Oh, so like his hairline, and I can't say much about that, but he looks just half the man that he used to be. The Sherlock goal at the end to make it 4-2, he just collapses on the ground, you know, going after it. But he you could just, by his body language, and I hate being a body language doctor, he looked just destroyed. And it's almost like it might be time to hang it up, man, because this is bad. This is really, really bad. And I think he's only at Burnley because of their injury issues that they had with keeper. But
they've had two keepers.
But here's my question. But what's wrong? How did this happen?
Age and confidence. Well, confidence, number one. Right. When Guardiola comes in and is basically like, you're done, you're out of here, that's got to be devastating.
He bounced around a few teams the last
Torino,
two or three years,
West Ham, and it almost looked like he was going to stay with City. It was only, again, because Burnley had a keeper injury. They were desperate to buy, and now we're in a desperate situation because we don't have a capable backup.
You'd probably play like some youngster.
Yeah, and that's who's going to play. But if you would have said Joe Hart's going to start Caribou Cup matches and FA Cup matches, I would have said, that's fine, we'll lose, and I don't care. But, you know, it's just a shame to see somebody, and as the English here in the room, you know, this was a guy who was the starting keeper for
England. Him when he was the keeper.
I loved him.
He was the keeper by... not because he was the best, but because there was no one else. And that's been a big problem for England over the years is, you know, too many positions on the team. It's that you're just the best of what's out there, not necessarily really the best.
All right, and to complete the round here, we will hit Newcastle-Chelsea.
Go ahead.
Because Newcastle 1, Chelsea 2. Again, this is where it would help to have the Newcastle supporter here. But, Alex, you had some really good points about how this match... kind of concluded.
Well, the game, if you catch the last 15 minutes and you're in great shape, which is basically where I was. I was getting a car wash and I had the phone on, and so I got the very end. It was a crazy finish to the game. First of all, before the game even starts, apparently there's like a bust up with Lascelles, the captain of Newcastle, doesn't like the fact that they're going to play five in the back, which is what Siri? What's his name? Sorry. Sorry even said at the end of the game. Like, I've never heard of Newcastle and the coach. What's his name?
Rafa Benitez.
Benitez playing five at the back.
Yeah.
And so Lascelles and him had a big problem. And I mean, Spurs have sniffed around him in the past. It makes you wonder what's going to happen there in terms of his future. Anyway, the most important thing is questionable PK call.
No.
That was where Alonso is driving into the. To the box.
Yep. Marcus player. Alonso, who killed a woman, definitely did not deserve that call.
Killed a woman?
Killed a woman. Look it up. He,
Are you being serious?
I'm being very, very serious about it. It's a very terrible story, and where sport should take a step back to real life. But it was a very bad call, to say the least. Eden Hazard comes on and scores the penalty, goes to third all-time Chelsea scorer with his 70th Premier League goal. Congratulations.
But then Newcastle level from nothing.
It's from nothing or from something, because DeAndre Yedlin delivered the Greg the Hammer Valentine elbow to Mr. Giroux and put in an amazing cross, right? That was a deadly ball. And then is it LaSalle who scores it?
Hasselu
who scores it. Sorry, I'm going by my fantasy. I don't know Newcastle's roster at all. He put in a header that made him look like he was a number nine.
Yeah, but David Luiz is just sitting there flat-footed. Yeah. That's like the thing you've got to say.
We could talk about Chelsea all day.
Chelsea look good.
The time is almost 7 o'clock. We need to go. So I'm going to ask you, Tottenham United tomorrow.
Oh.
I mean, I think the Lloris fact that he got a DUI, that's not good. But that said, Spurs.
Yeah, I'm pretty much thinking Spurs are going to win this.
2-0.
Yeah, I'd say Spurs won the match.
But it's in United.
Yeah, it's at Old Trafford.
Well, yeah, that goes for us. But, I mean, like, if there's still trouble in the locker room, I'm not going to, you know. Anyway.
Andy, are you confident at all going into that match?
No.
No.
Not at all.
That says it,
not
then.
Not at all.
Yikes.
I'll be happy for a draw.
Yeah.
All right, guys, the time is 7. The time is 7 o'clock. We'll be back next week. I'm Andy.
Alex.
Christian.
Take care, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.